Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldai, and today Maseches Megillah Daf Chav Zayin, the fourth parak B'nei Ir. The Zichu Maseches Megillah program has been generously sponsored by the Queen's Zichu Chabura. So the three daps are going to focus on number one. The Mishnah Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph had stated that if one had sold a Sefer Torah, one may not use the proceeds to buy Sfarim. The question was asked, Mal Limkor Sefer Torah Yashan Likach B'chadosh? What's the halacha in regard to selling an old Sefer Torah in order to buy a new one? Do we say that since one is not using the money to purchase something with more Kedusha, it's forbidden? Or do we say that since it's not possible to purchase something with more Kedusha other than a Sefer Torah, it's permitted? The Gemara attempts several answers, and in the third answer brings a braisa that states, Manichin Sefer Torah Gabi Torah. One may place a Sefer Torah on top of another Torah, and one may place a Torah on top of Chumashim, a Chumashim on top of Nevim, a Ksuvim. Since it's permitted to place one Sefer Torah on top of another, it must be permitted as well to sell one Sefer Torah for another one. The Gemara rejects this proof, explaining that this case is different, since it may be permitted to do so, because there was no other place to put the Sefer Torah. The Gemara brings up proof that not having a place to put the Sefer Torah would permit putting it on top of another one, because if this was not permitted, how could one be permitted to roll up a Sefer Torah, being that then one page will rest upon another page? The Gemara leaves this question of selling an old Sefer Torah to buy a new one unresolved. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Ein mochin eshel rabim lo yachim ifnei shemorinu oso mekdusha so diva Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that people in a town may not sell a public shul to an individual because they bring down its level of kedusha. The Chachamim said to him, Im ken af mi'ir gadola ir katana. If so, then it should not be permitted to sell a shul from a large city to a small city. The Gemara asks what Rabbi Meir's response would be to the Chachamim and answers that he would say that transferring from a large city to a small city does not diminish its level of kedusha, whereas Rabbi Yachin leka kedusha, transferring a shul from the public to an individual, results in no kedusha in the individual's use of the shul. Or she explains that in such a shul, no davarship of kedusha, such as kaddish or kedusha, can be recited there because it lacks a minyan. The Chachamim's response to Rabbi Meir is that if one needs to be concerned about decreasing the level of kedusha through the transfer, then in the case of selling the shul from a large city to a small one, there is need for concern, Mishum Barovam Hadras Melch, because of what the multitude of the people is the glory of the king. Rashi explains that the rabbis are not concerned about diminishing the level of the Kedusha because the proceeds from the sale will be used for something with greater Kedusha. And point number three, the Gemara brings several responses the Rabbanan gave their Talmudim when they were asked why they were zokah to live long. Rabbi Zakkai answered, Miyamai lo yishtanti mayim betok dalad amos shel tefillah. In all my days I never urinated within dalad amos of where I daven. Well, kenisi shem l'chaveirai, and I never called my friend by a nickname. Well, bitalti kiddush yom, and I never neglected to say kiddush on Shabbos day over wine. He shared that one time he did not have enough money to buy wine, and his elderly mother sold the veil she would wear on her head to buy the wine for kiddush. When she died, she left him a yerusha of 300 barrels of wine, and when Rabbi Zakkai passed away, he left his children 3,000 barrels of wine. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Mishnah Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph had stated that if one had sold a Sefer Torah, one may not use the proceeds to buy Sfarim. The question was asked, Ma'olim kor Sefer Torah yashin likach bo chadash? What's the law in regard to selling an old Sefer Torah in order to buy a new one? Do we say that since one is not using the money to purchase something with more Kedusha, it's forbidden? Or do we say that since it's not possible to purchase something with more Kedusha other than a Sefer Torah, it is permitted? The Gemara attempts several answers, and in the third answer brings a braisa that states, Manichin Sefer Torah al Gabi Torah. One may place a Sefer Torah on top of another Torah, and one may place a Torah on top of Chumashim, and Chumashim on top of Nevim and Ksuvim. Since it's permitted to place one Sefer Torah on top of another, it must be permitted as well to sell one Sefer Torah for another one. The Gemara rejects this proof, explaining that this case is different, since it may be permitted to do so, because there was no other place to put the Sefer Torah. The Gemara brings a proof that not having a place to put the Sefer Torah would permit putting it on top of another one, because if this was not permitted, how could one be permitted to roll up a Sefer Torah, being that then one page will rest upon another page? The Gemara leaves the question of selling an old Sefer Torah to buy a new one unresolved. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Ein mochin eshel rabim lo yachim ifnei shemorinu oso mekdusha. So, David Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that the people in a town may not sell a public shul to an individual because they bring down its level of kedusha. The Chachamim said to him, Im ken af mi'ir gadola ir katana. If so, then it should not be permitted to sell a shul from a large city to a small city. The Gemara asks what Rabbi Meir's response would be to the Chachamim and answers that he would say that transferring from a large city to a small city doesn't diminish its level of kedusha, whereas Marabim L'Yachim Leika Kedusha, transferring a shul from the public to an individual, results in no kedusha in the individual's use of the shul. Rashi explains that in such a shul, no davarship of kedusha, such as kaddish or kedusha, can be recited there because it lacks a minyan. The Chachamim's response to Rabbi Meir is that if one needs to be concerned about decreasing the level of kedusha through the transfer, then in the case of selling the shul from a large city, there is need for concern, Mishum Barovam Hadras Melch, because of, with the multitude of the people, is the glory of the king. Rashi explains that the rabbis are not concerned about diminishing the level of the Kedusha because the proceeds from the sale will be used for something with greater Kedusha. And pointing with you, the Gemara brings several responses Rabbanim gave their Talmidim when they were asked why they were zoked to live long. Rabbi Zakkai answered, "In all my days, I never urinated within Dalad Amos of where I daven, and I never called my friend by a nickname, and I never neglected to say Kiddush on Shabbos day over wine." He shared that one time he didn't have enough money to buy wine, and his elderly mother sold the veil she would wear on her head to buy the wine for Kiddush. When she died, she left him a Yerusha of 300 barrels of wine, and when Rabbi Zakkai passed away, he left his children 3,000 barrels of wine. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Chav Zayin, and our standard Siman is a kazoo. It's a musical toy that children blow into that makes a buzzing sound. So here goes. The child who brought his kazoos with Torah emblems to shul, placing one on top of another, was surprised when his father told him the town sold him the shul so that he could daven there privately, and threw in 300 barrels of wine with a note he should be zoched to live long and enjoy his son's kazooing. Once again, it's Lemotion. The child who brought his kazoos, that must be one Daf Chav Zayin. The child who brought his kazoos with Torah emblems to shul, placing one on top of another, which reminds us, the question was asked, what's the law in regard to selling an old Sefer Torah in order to buy a new one? Do we say that since one is not using the money to purchase something with more Kedusha, it's forbidden? Or do we say that since it's not possible to purchase something with more Kedusha other than a Sefer Torah, it's permitted? The Gemara attempts several answers, and the third answer brings a brisa that states, Menichin Sefer Torah al Gabi Torah, one may place a Sefer Torah on top of another Torah. So it says since it's permitted to place one Sefer Torah on top of another, it must be permitted as well to sell one Sefer Torah for another one. The Gemara rejects this proof, explaining that this case is different, since it may be permitted to do so because there was no other place to put the Sefer Torah. So the child who brought his kazoos with Torah emblems to shul, placing one on top of another, was surprised when his father told him the town sold him the shul so he could daven there privately. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states where Meir says that people in a town may not sell a public shul to an individual because they bring down its level of Kedusha. Nachami said to him, "Im ken af mi'ir gadola, ir katana." If so, then it should not be permitted to sell a shul from a large city to a small city. So the child who brought his kazoos with Torah emblems to shul, placing one on top of another, was surprised when his father told him the town sold him the shul so he could daven there privately, and threw in 300 barrels of wine with a note he should be zoched to live long and enjoy his son's kazooing. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zakkai explained to his Talmudim that one of the reasons he was zoched to a long life was Lo bitalti kiddush hayom, I never neglected to say kiddush on Shabbos day over wine. He shared that one time he did not have enough money to buy wine, and his elderly mother sold the veil she would wear on her head to buy the wine for kiddush. When she died, she left him a Yerusha of 300 barrels of wine. And when Rabbi Zakkai passed away, he left his children 3,000 barrels of wine. So once again, the child who brought his kazoos with Torah emblems to shul, placing one on top of another, was surprised when his father told him the town sold him the shul so he could daven there privately, and threw in 300 barrels of wine with a note he should be zoched to live a long life and enjoy his son's kazooing. All right, now it's time for a four blah back chazara. Daf Chaf Gimel, so the Siman Daf Chaf Gimel is Kugelach. So here goes. The excited Kugelach players, that must be wearing Daf Chaf Gimel. The excited Kugelach players who are quick to come to the tournament and planning to be quick to leave for the pizza party afterwards, which reminds the Gemara seeks to determine the author of the following brisa that says, the inyan to become later to shul and are quick to leave, which Rashi explains we come later because we're preparing the Suda and quick to leave because of Simchas Yantav. On Yom Kippur, we're quick to come to shul and leave late. We come early because there's no Suda to prepare. And on Shabbos, we are quick to come and quick to go. Rashi explains that since the meal has already been prepared, we can come earlier. It's also ideal so Kriyashma can be done before sunrise. People are quick to go, so they have more time to enjoy Shabbos. So the excited Kugel players who are quick to come to the tournament and plan to be quick to leave for the pizza party afterwards were seated at tables with 3, 5, and 7 players. Which reminds us, what do the 3 readers of the Torah for Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha, the 5 readers for Yontav, and the 7 readers for Shabbos correspond to? So one or more holds as connected Birchas Kohanim. They correspond to the number of words in the 3 Psukim and Birchas Kohanim. The other Amora says they're connected different levels of royal attendance. So the excited Kugelach players are quick to come to the tournament and plan to be quick to leave for the pizza party afterwards were seated at tables with 3, 5, and 7 players, while their fathers made a minyan together, each one davening for his son's success. Which reminds us, we learn from the pasuk in Yikdashti Batok Bnei Yisrael, I'll be sanctified in the midst of Bnei Yisrael, that Kol Davar Shebo Kedusha Lo Yeh Pachas Masari, any matter of Kedusha shall not have less than 10 men. The Gemara is how it's known that 10 men are required, and brings that Rechia Tadak Gezer Shev, that connects the word Toch in the pasuk to the word toch in the parsha of Korach, he badum toch eda, and connects the word eid in the pasuk of Korach to the word eda in the pasuk of the Meraglim. Daf Chaf Dalet. So the simur Daf Chaf Dalet is a pitcher. So here goes. The shul that had a cupboard full of pitchers, that must be more in Daf Chaf Dalet. The shul that had a cupboard full of pitchers engraved with Achron Achron Chaviv to give as gifts to honor the members willing to do maftir, which reminds us we have a malchukas as to why the one who's accustomed to doing maftir gets so many honors in that he's poris al shema, he repeats the Shemona Esrei, and if he's a kohen, he's known as kapav. Rav Papa said mishum kavod is because of honor. Rashi explains that since he diminished himself and read maftir, which is not a kavod, we give him rules that do afford him honor. Rabbi Barashimi said mishum daasi lansuye, because he might otherwise come to malchukas with the bal tefillah, meaning that since the bal tefillah received payment for his services, the maftir might become resentful that he's not paid too. So the shul that had a cupboard full of pitchers engraved with Achron Achron Chaviv to give as gifts to honor the members wanting to do maftir had a blind shul Sibor who recited the bracha of Yotze HaMa'oros, which reminds us we have machlokes whether a suma, a blind person, can be poris al shema since he recites the bracha of Yotze HaMa'oros. Rav Yehuda says he does not, since he does not get hanah from the light. The Chachamim say he does, since he benefits from the fact that a person with sight can lead him. So the shul that had a cupboard full of pitchers engraved with Achron Achron Chaviv to give as gifts to honor the members willing to do maftir had a blind shulich sibor who recited the bracha of Yotze HaMa'oros and didn't realize he accidentally put on a round pair of tefillin. Which reminds us, the Mishnah states, Osa tefilaso agula sakana ve'imba mitzvah. One who makes his head tefillin around is in danger because if he bumps into a low doorway, he could puncture his skull and there's no mitzvah performed when he wears it. Daf Chaf Hei. So the Simon Daf Chaf Hei is a silver anniversary. So here goes. When the husband gave his wife a ring in the shape of a bird's nest on their silver anniversary, that must mean we're on Daf Chaf Hei. When the husband gave his wife a ring in the shape of a bird's nest on their silver anniversary and said, Hashem should have mercy on her too, which reminds us that two reasons are given as to why we silence someone who says, Al kansipo yagiru rachamecha. One reason is because he's matalkina, but my sebreshis, he's provoking jealousy in the works of creation since he's suggesting that Kosh Baruch has mercy on the birds but not on other animals. Or we silence him if neisha osimi dosim shekosh baruch hu rachamim, because he makes the mitzvahs of a kosh baruch hu intacts of rachamim ve'enon el gezeras, when in fact there are only gezeras. So when the husband gave his wife a ring in the shape of a bird's nest on their silver anniversary and said Hashem should have mercy on her too, she grew irate and said all she wants from him is a little yir shamayim, which reminds us, Rabbi Chanina said, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi yir shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven, as the pasuk states, V'ata Yisrael ma Hashem al kecha sholem imach kim le'ira. And now Yisrael, what does Hashem your God ask of you but to fear Hashem your God? The Gemara asks, Mechlal de'yir milsa zutrasihi. Is the Torah implying that the fear of heaven is a small matter? The Gemara answers, Im l'gabi Moshe b'ina milsa zutrasihi. Yes, regarding Moshe, our teacher, it's a small matter. And then brings a mashal to illustrate why. So when the husband gave a wife a ring in the shape of a bird's nest on their silver anniversary and said, Hashem should have mercy on her too, she grew irate and said all she wants from him is a little yir shamayim, and then made him translate the psukim of the Chet Ha'egel as a form of kapar, which reminds us. The Gemara explains why certain parshios of the Torah we read and translate, and other ones we do not translate. The first narration of the Chet Ha'egel may be read and translated. One might have thought we should be concerned about the honor of Yisrael. However, we translate it anyways, the Havyiluhu kapar, because it will be kapar for them. Daf Chavav. So the Simon Daf Chavav is a military coup. So here goes. The soldiers taking part in the military coup. Coup? That must be more in Daf Chavav. The soldiers taking part in the military coup, who surrounded the shul in the city to prevent its sale, which reminds us, a shul can be sold to purchase an arum based on Malim Bekosh Vilmaridin. We ascend in Kosh matters, but we do not descend. But this only applies to a countryside shul. A shul belonging to the city may not be sold. Since people from outside the city come to it, the residents of the city have no right to sell it because it belongs to the general public. So the soldiers taking part in the military coup, who surrounded the shul in the city to prevent its sale, stayed overnight for free in Yerushalayim, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchokas whether Nischalki Yerushalayim was Shvatim, whether Yerushalayim was a portion of the Shvatim. After the Gemara brings a Braisa to support the view that it was a portion of the Shvatim, based on how the temple area was divided among the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin, it brings a Braisa that supports the view that it was not a portion of the Shvatim, which states, one may not rent out houses in Yerushalayim if Nesha ain't in Shalayim, because the houses are not theirs, but they belong to the greater public. Rather, they had to let the Oir HaGolim stay there for free. But Yezer Bar Tzadok said, Aflomitos, they may also not rent out beds. So the soldiers taking part in the military coup who surrounded the shul in the city to prevent its sale stayed overnight for free in Yerushalayim by hosts that lived next to the town Geniza for Tashmishe Kedusha. Which reminds us, It was taught in a braisa, tashmishei mitzvah nizrakin, objects used for doing a mitzvah such as a sukkah, lulav, shofar, and tzitzis may be discarded since they do not have kedusha after their use. Tashmishei kedusha nignazim, but objects which are accessories to kadosh items such as sacks for sacred books, tefillin and mezuzahs, atik shel sefer Torah, and a case for tefillin and their straps must be put in a geniza. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.